Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
My favorite movie of all time is Planet of the Apes. I really enjoy the new series that started with Rise of the Planet of the Apes. I'm about to read you a news story that starts off like it's another version of Planet of the Apes.
And if you missed the early part of the show, you can run on the Odyssey app. I threw an Easter egg in there regarding Planet of the Apes, the original.
That's true. You did do that. Listen to this story. I'm just going to read it because I am freaked out. A truck carrying a group of monkeys infected with several diseases crashed on a Mississippi interstate on Tuesday. All right? The sheriff's office said the truck was carrying monkeys, about 40 pounds apiece, aggressive towards humans, and infected with hepatitis C, herpes, and COVID.
Oh, jeez.
Several diseased monkeys escaped while others remained trapped in their cages. The sheriff's office said that all but one of the infected monkeys were destroyed.
Oh, so they got them all.
Except that last monkey, however, remains on the loose as of 2 p.m.
Jeez.
Now, again, I just want to remind you what this monkey does. This monkey is aggressive towards humans and is also infected with hepatitis C, herpes, and COVID.
Mm. All of them?
Yeah.
Or just some of them?
I would assume they're infected with everything.
So this monkey gets around.
I was going to say, if anybody could invent like an animal prophylactic, that would really come in handy.
No, they're intentionally infected.
Oh. Yeah, they're doing
experiments.
Yeah, they were being transferred to Tulane University, where they're going to do studies on them. Now they can't because they killed all of them, right, except for the one that's out there and is aggressive towards humans. This is the way society's going to end. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. Did you watch Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's how it all went down.
What is the main character's name, the monkey's name?
Caesar.
Is this Caesar on the loose, basically, yeah, in real life?
This was also Outbreak, too, right?
Yes.
Well, Caesar was more, it was the intelligence.
Well, yeah, right? So there's two things that are missing here. Caesar had intelligence. These monkeys still seem dumb.
Well,
yeah,
this one got away, so maybe he's smart.
Okay, but the other thing is the diseases he is spreading are all things we have cures for, yes, or at least things that we can treat. The disease that got created in Rise of the Planet of the Apes killed off the human population, mm-hmm, and if you didn't die, made you mutant dumb. So luckily, herpes and COVID, they don't exactly do that.
Don't be fearful. We got a cure for that.
Yeah, we're good. It's okay. Unless you're in Mississippi, you know, mile marker 117, then you better be on the run.
If you're listening on the Odyssey app right now. Right?
But there may be somebody. Is somebody driving the truck in Mississippi like, excuse me? What did you just say? Anyhow, here's your Cinco de Five.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. All right, so I know Evan teased this ironically, which ties into it. Last night was a pretty crazy sports equinox night, which got my brain churning in terms of, all right, here we are, it's October 2025. Who are the five current athletes I find worth watching every time their game is on?
Oh, interesting one.
All right.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Lamar Jackson exists in my top five list, and look no further than what the hell the Ravens look like without him. I know they won a game last week, but he's still box office.
Snoop won a game for him.
Yeah. Snoopaloop. Okay, here we go.
Number four.
Part of why I'm still devastated and regretting telling Evan I'm going to the game Sunday, Cam Scatabu. Cam Scatabu got my top five list. Because he's just such a different
kind
of player.
That's all right. Tyrone Tracy's going to fill in admirably.
Okay.
Because it feels like Scat took the starting job from him.
Yeah.
Kind of by injury, but whatever.
Okay, it's seven touchdowns.
I don't believe that one. I believe the Lamar one. The Scatabu, you're a giant homer. Yeah. And I think you're just throwing him in there. You don't actually feel that way about him.
Okay, again, this is my list, not Evan Roberts' list.
I know I'm just accusing you of being a little bit of a
phony. No, what I think he's saying is that Cam Scatabu was must-watch for him.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think he's knocking Tyrone Tracy or the fact that he's going to this game with you. I think he's just saying.
He was a psychopath.
Scatabu was one of those guys.
He was a psychopath playing football, which I hadn't gotten used to. All right, here we go.
Number three.
The only NBA player that makes the list, and this is the year for it, because I'm locked in on the pass. Victor Wembanyama.
100%.
I mean, he's unbelievable.
He is.
When's he come to Barclays?
I got to double check. I know I'm not getting rid of those tickets, though. Like, I'm going to watch him. Nice. I haven't seen him in person yet, so Wembanyama's a guy that I've already, taken the tickets away and said, I'm going to see that.
And the NBA is in a weird place, right? Because you have, I'm not including Steph Curry or LeBron. You know, we've been there, done that. I'm done.
You're
with those
bored
guys.
By them, is what
I'm
you're saying?
I'm bored by them. And when I think of all the young stars in the NBA, it's Victor Wembanyama.
I don't want to call Sean out, but I'm about to. I get the list beforehand. You had Ant-Man as number three, not Wemby.
I did.
I know Ant's hurt. Is that what went into
this? No. I realized I was thinking about Victor Wembanyama last night, and I don't know why I didn't have him on the list.
Fair enough.
I'm allowed to edit before.
I didn't say you weren't allowed to edit. I just was wondering why you edited.
For the record, Victor Wembanyama is scheduled to play at Barclays Center on Thursday, February 26th, and he is scheduled to play at Madison Square Garden that weekend, Sunday, March 1st. Mm. So,
okay. Good timing. Post-football season. Right.
And that Sunday is at 1 o'clock, ain't? So you got a chance to see him at the Garden on a Sunday afternoon. Take your kids. You got a chance to see him in Brooklyn on a Thursday night. Pretty cool.
All right, here we go.
Number two.
Save those tickets for us, Evan.
Yeah, no doubt.
You want me to take all of you?
Yeah, let's go.
I mean, who else is he going to take?
I mean, I'll sell them.
You just said you're not going to sell
them. Well, I have four tickets. I'll go with somebody, and then I'll get rid of the other two.
Wow.
Maybe I'll take one of you guys and sell the two.
Oh, we got a bid on it, guys.
Do you want to see Wembanyama?
Of course I do.
All right. Maybe I'll put you at the top of the list.
How about out of me, Tommy, and Tiki.
Yeah.
Whoever wins the picks contest the rest of the way gets to go with you.
Ooh. Fair enough. And since I'm going to finish in the last place, I'm the loser in this.
You're only a game. No, two games behind now.
Yeah. But we're all bunched up.
Right.
Exactly. Fair enough. The winner gets Wembanyama in Brooklyn.
Nice. I like it.
He snuck in Brooklyn there, not the Garden.
Well, my Garden tickets are actually already gone.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. Good for you.
That's why he buys Garden tickets.
Yeah.
No, this one I got. I sold to a friend for face value. I don't upcharge people I know.
Okay. And generally speaking.
Yes.
Okay. But not this particular case. Because he happened to be a 70s, Spurs fan?
No, he's just a guy who wants to see Nick Spurs on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
We're up to two.
Tonight. All right, go number two. Go.
Number two.
It's Shohei Ohtani, who tonight we are going to watch pitch. And after, I mean, you have to admit, even I will, he's a unicorn.
Okay, what's more compelling, him pitching or him hitting?
I think him pitching after the last...
I agree with you. I want to see how he pitches.
I didn't
care. Because I kind of know how he's going
to
hit.
Yeah. I didn't care to watch him pitch. Now, I got to admit tonight, I want to put on the game and watch him
pitch. I know this is really geeky. I'm going to admit it as I say it. Ever since they changed the rule for him, where he can simply go back to DHing after he's done pitching, the intrigue in seeing Ohtani do both has lessened for me. Because a part of the intrigue was
I'm not even talking about
taking him out of the game. Do they move him to a position? Now it's just, great, he's a DH.
Right, but I'm not even talking about him pitching and hitting. I'm just talking about him pitching.
Oh, just the pitching part?
Just the pitching part of it.
I mean, after what he did last night, now to go watch him pitch tonight.
Right. Here's the crazy part, and this is going to sound jerky. I think Ohtani is unbelievable, and he could go down as the greatest of all time, considering he's doing something no one else has ever done, even Babe Ruth. But his pitching is good, but there are better.
Right.
And as a hitter, he's really good. There happens to be one guy who's better.
Right.
So it's not like he's the...
It's not like he's the best of the best of the best.
Now, he's very close with the offense. I'll totally give you him and Judge are very close.
But because he does both...
That's what makes him amazing.
Really well, it's what makes him amazing. But I also am particularly interested in tonight's game because the bullpens are taxed.
No, it's a great call. So when Ohtani did the magic in game four of the NLCS, let's face it, the series was over. They were up 3-0. Big deal. Great. Six scoreless and three home runs. Yay. What did it mean? Tonight, you got a taxed out Dodger bullpen. Right. And the series is still 2-1 with 6-7 in Toronto. So
This isn't a foregone conclusion
that
the Dodgers are going back to back here.
Like, they need him to eat innings today, along with obviously winning a playoff World Series game to go up 3-1. But I'm curious, who's number one then?
Easy.
Number one.
It's Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't care. Like, people could hate him all you want. I have settled on this. He is, without a shadow of a doubt, the one player in my lifetime that I enjoy watching the most that never played for one of my teams in any sport. Even last night, I don't care that the team doesn't go and score 35 points a game. His arm angle stuff, just constantly, you're never out of...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the new podcast, Up at Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as Payne Lindsay and I are joined by other true crime experts to take a fresh look at some of the most puzzling crimes and shine a spotlight on the cases that have stumped investigators for far too long. So go right now and search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show. Listen for free wherever you get your podcasts.
Play. I love Patrick Mahomes. I think he's boxable.
Very nice. I can see that. Very nice.
No King of New York on that list?
No.
No Aaron Judge?
No.
Okay.
You know why he's not putting him there, though? I think we are spoiled.
We are.
Mm. You're jaded by it. Like,
yeah, that's why.
You just expect it.
The Scottaboo thing wasn't even real. I wouldn't even take that in there. It was real, but it's not.
It's only because it's new and novel.
Yeah, exactly.
True, but in 5 years, it may not be right. The case.
But I think when it comes to the great player you watch every day, you just become like, whatever.
Right. You felt that. I know it's only 1 year. You felt that way with Soto by the end of the year? I know it's one season. It's probably not a fair comp.
That's not the best comp to ask me is probably Jason Kidd.
Did you feel?
Yes.
I really took
it for granted, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I wish I did.
You wish you had Jason Kidd right now.
Of course I did.
As a coach or a player.
But in the moment, like when you have a guy for six years and he's great, and it's
I also would think with Soto, just to go back to your question, Tommy, is because you had to watch him because who else was hitting, right? Consistently with, you know, it just became a, you need him to play great in order to win. And you're chasing the playoffs.
Yeah, I think with Soto, it's not enamored in watching someone great. It's a guy in a cog in the machine to hope you get to a better place.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, especially when your team is off, your team is not great, then it comes down to, I'm just watching in awe at this one player.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different, but very good list. I think Victor Wembanyama is going to be number one. He is probably right now, for me, the number one guy I'm intrigued to watch. Because I watched him the other day, obviously. He faced the Nets on Sunday afternoon. And unlike every other person on your list, he's like something we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Patrick Mahomes is a great quarterback. Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback. We just went through with Ohtani. Right. We've never seen someone do both. But in terms of what he does at each skill, yeah, he's a good pitcher. There are other pitchers better. He's a really, really good hitter.
But doing both is just ridiculous.
100%. Like, it is out overworldly, but in terms of seeing something with your own eyes and saying, wow, that's weird, Victor Wembanyama's running around at 7'4" with a wingspan of like 1 million feet, and he's drilling threes, and he's got ball handling skills, and he's blocking shots. Like, that is some weird crap.
Right.
And it's intoxicating
to
watch.
And it feels effortless right now.
It really does. Now, I put out a poll earlier this morning. I was very curious the results, since last night the Dodgers and the Chiefs were on at the same time. And the Chiefs are a dynastic team. The Dodgers are on the verge of being a dynastic team. I asked people, which dynastic team do you dislike the most? I was actually very surprised with the result. And then I thought about it, and I was like, okay, I'm not surprised. The Dodgers, by a lot, 65% say they dislike the Dodgers more than the Kansas City Chiefs.
Because of how they're constructed, or how they were constructed.
I don't think that's it.
What do you think it is?
Mets fans and Yankee fans have been affected by the Dodgers.
No, I can see that.
The Chiefs honestly done nothing.
Yeah, this isn't a national poll.
Correct. A national poll, I think it would be the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And also, people care more about football than they do baseball. Yeah.
New Yorkers have also rooted for the Chiefs in two of these Super Bowls because of the Eagles.
That's true. That's true. And even some who hate the Bills, like myself, I'm rooting for them against the Bills.
Mm-hmm. True.
So there have been moments where I've rooted for them, and in the Dodger case, last year they beat both of us. They beat my team. They beat your team. Like, they've inflicted pain on us, while the Chiefs have inflicted no pain on us because, A, the Jets suck, and the Giants haven't gotten to a Super Bowl. So what do we hate them for?
Right. I think we could all respect the Chiefs fan base because they were like us at one point, right? You used to bring up the Jet and Chief.
They had parallels.
Parallels.
Mm-hmm. Until Mahomes.
They struck gold with a franchise quarterback. I'm going to hate that fan base for it. The Dodgers, how do you respect LA fans? Hey, half the time they're not even there on time. They get lost.
I'll tell you the other thing about LA fans, and this happened last night, one of the many things over the course of a 7-hour game when George Springer got hurt, and I get it. They don't like George Springer for obvious reasons. They were booing him. They were cheering that he got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, the Dodger fans were sick last night.
Right. I immediately felt bad for him because clearly he was hurt. It wasn't, meaning Springer, it wasn't something, this has been bothering me. He left immediately.
And I don't think he's going to play again.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the lineup yet, but I'm going to make your prediction. We have seen the last of George Springer.
Hmm.
In fact, the Blue Jay lineup is not out. The Dodger lineup is out, which is like an early sign that they're trying to see if he can play. But I bet he doesn't play. And that sucks.
Right.
But I made this comment to you about a year ago, and you were very surprised. And I think now, a year later, you probably accept it. I said that Dodger fans are the worst. They're scummier than Philly fans.
Yeah.
I remember I said that to
you. Yeah, I do remember you saying that.
Do you now understand why?
Yeah, true. But I don't. Yeah, you cheer someone getting hurt, it's ridiculous.
The Eagle fans literally showed respect to Cam Scottabro.
Right.
Dodger fans, those scum in L.A.
Never experienced Dodger fans. That's why I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want to.
Even if I did, they wouldn't have hate towards me.
They wouldn't. They're just horrible, scummy people, for the most part. Not everybody, obviously. There are some good ones. But for the most part, Dodger fans are underratedly scummy. And what really bothers me is that on a national level, and this is for you, Philly, for any of our Philly fans listening, you'll get hate, we'll get hate, Boston will get hate, because it's easy, because it's a cliche. Oh, Philly, they have a jail at the Vet. Ha, ha, ha. New York, the Bronx cheers. Boston with the... Yeah. L.A.'s worse.
Mm-hmm.
They're scummier in L.A. They're worse people in L.A. They are vicious in L.A. We've heard the stories. There have been deaths between Dodger fans and Giant fans. They are horrific. And yet on a national level, you'll never hear those comments made about them the way people will make comments so willingly about the city of Philadelphia, the city of New York, and the city of Boston. So we as northeastern cities should stand together and unite and tell the national audience, we are not worse than L.A. They are scum.
I hate L.A.
I hate L.A.
Thank you.
Let's get back to your phone calls. Let's hear from someone who's claiming his ticket prices went up a lot with the Jets, which is just disgraceful. Sean in Yonkers, the floor is yours, sir.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, so I do want to get to my Jets point, which is absolutely disgusting, like you said, Evan, but I actually do want to take a temperature, feel of the room real quick. So last week I was gutted listening to the awesome Evan and Tiki show. So Positive Tommy said that he was secretly a Trey Young fan. And so that got me to thinking,
right.
Is he secretly not positive about the Mets?
No. So I said was,
wow.
That's some accusation. What I said was, is that I like the idea of Trey Young because he reminds me of Reggie Miller, bless his heart. He thinks he's the boogeyman, but he really isn't because we've had a lot of success against him. And I like that villain at times, even when he does stick it to us. So that's what I meant by it. Secretly, I like him around. It's boring when you don't have heels in sports. Exactly.
Love to hate him.
Exactly. That's what I meant by that. If I didn't explain myself properly, I appreciate you giving me the platform here to re-explain myself better.
All right, I accept that. I accept that. All right, so I actually got an email on Friday, and I don't want to reveal like exactly where I sit, but I pay exactly $35.96 for my season tickets. And I have an email. I mean, I could forward it, screenshot it, post it on X, whatever. They want me to go up an extra $600 to $4,100.
Mm.
And I honestly declined it. And so they had a very nice representative email me back. And then they only offered to actually drop it by like an extra $80. So I'm still going up $520. It's actually hilarious. I'm done. I'm not doing it no more. I can't support this team. I've given them thousands and thousands of dollars over the years. I'm so done. And I'm honestly disgusted with the product that they put on the field. I feel like this should be a movement. It really should not just me. This should be everybody.
Yeah.
Well, a couple of things. I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, we have an extra preseason game next year because there was only one preseason game this year.
Right.
Which I think is, unfortunately, a part of the cost that there's an extra game, even if that game is trash and we don't want it.
It is part of the cost. But at this point, I mean, watching a preseason game is like watching a regular season game. The product is just awful.
Well, you're right.
And now, nobody plays.
That is the inherent issue here. Is they got to stop charging these kinds of prices for the preseason.
I hear you.
Because even without a significant price increase.
It's a regular ticket, right?
It's priced very close to one,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
But think about it. You have 9 games this past year, right? Now there's going to be 10 because of the preseason game.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, there was only one preseason game for the Jets this past year because the Jet-Giant game was a Giant game.
Yep.
And this year, upcoming year, it's going to be a Jet game, which is, I think, where it becomes an increase. Like, you may not even be paying more money per ticket, but because there's an extra game, you're paying more money.
Now, the reason you get season tickets, and we talked about this before, is so that you can have your seat, like the seat that you want is yours, and you can get it anytime that you want. But if you don't want to pay for the preseason, what option do you have?
They have a... Honestly, there is no option.
There isn't an
You're
option.
Screwed.
So if you don't want to pay for the preseason, the only way for you to get tickets to the Jets or anybody is to do it ad hoc.
And
so
you,
every game, you have to go try to find your seat.
And you can do ad hoc, and it will cost you less. The negative with ad hoc is if, God forbid, they host a playoff game, you've lost your playoff access.
Right.
And number two, you pay more, at least from the Jets, if you're not buying the season ticket. Now, you could wait till, you know, a week before the game, like this upcoming game against Cleveland in 2 weeks, the prices are dirt cheap.
Yeah, of course.
Because they stink.
Both teams are not good record-wise. Sports Talk on WFNN is presented by Paramount+. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Joe is in Norwood. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I just wanted to comment earlier on the neighbors thing, the video of him dancing around or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
I wouldn't even bat an eye at it. I saw people on X talking about it negatively, and I just had a similar injury myself. I was banged up for about a week, and then after that, like within a few weeks, I was back up on my feet feeling pretty damn good, almost like I didn't need surgery. Yeah, you know, he's probably feeling fine. If it was 3 months after, I'd say totally different story.
You tore your ACL, Joe?
I tore my ACL and my meniscus, actually.
Yeah, so you did the same thing. And that's the thing. Like, if it's fully torn, you don't really feel the pain, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, initially, it hurt like hell. You know, probably for a week, I was on crutches. But
yeah.
A month after, you know, like Tiki was saying, you know, do the rehab, and you're feeling pretty damn good. And the goal is just to get it strong before you go into surgery. And I got surgery, you know, 12 weeks ago now, and I'm feeling pretty good, but
yeah,
no, I don't think he'll have any problems with that access to care.
I think you're right, and Joe, like Malik, and probably like me, when I tore my PCL, I didn't tear my ACL, I didn't feel it at all. My knee just felt weird, and I swole a lot, and so I missed a couple of weeks that season, maybe 3 or 4, I can't remember exactly, but then I was back, and there was never any pain.
Right.
There was always swelling because of the laxity in my joint, but... It just you can mitigate that by getting your quads and your hamstrings strong, and that's what prehabbing does. It gets you pre-strong because you know that you're not going to be able to have that much strength as soon as the surgery is done.
I will tell you another piece of information about Malik Nabers' surgery that's causing quite a ruckus.
Mm.
According to Dan Duggan, who covers the New York Giants for The Athletic, he tweets, the surgery was performed by Dr. Dan Cooper, who is also the Cowboys team physician.
What's wrong with that?
Well, you know, Giant fans are very upset.
Oh, come on.
We got Fat Dom bringing Scatabu cheesesteaks, and now the Cowboy doctor's taking care of our receiver. What's going on here?
I mean, they all collaborate. It is what it is.
Still jarring to read.
He doesn't like it.
I mean, Dr. Andrews was Alabama and doctor, but also the Washington Commander.
It is actually very common. I was trying to explain that to Sean before. I was like, this is actually very common.
I know.
And he's the most famous one. May he rest in peace. He's the most famous one there is, right?
Yep. We're coming to you live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We'll get you set for a very interesting sports night. Not only the Dodgers-Blue Jays game 4, but the Knicks against future Knick, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Well, we got ourselves a busy sports night. Every single local team outside of the Nets who got their ass kicked last night are playing tonight. They got the NHL frenzy tonight where every hockey team is playing and they're all starting like 10 minutes apart. So you got the Devils in Colorado, which is very appealing. The Devils are off to an incredible start.
Mm-hmm.
They get their rematch with the Avalanche in Colorado. The Islanders are in Boston and the Rangers are out in Vancouver taking on the Canucks. And then for the first time this year, we get the Knicks on NBC because we got Knicks Bucks tonight.
Nice.
Which is an appealing game.
Of course it is.
Very.
As long as they make some shots.
Well, I mean, they're due to make some shots.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
after the heat.
They're not going to shoot 38% all year long. I would feel confident they'll make some shots tonight.
As long as we're bringing up shots with the Knicks, can I bring a grievance to the table?
A grievance?
Yeah. I just wonder if Tommy is going to start changing the name of the New York Knicks soon.
To what?
Why?
Tommy, would you be okay if we just started calling the New York Knicks the New York Chuckers?
I'm sorry. Did I just hear a voice of a fan that roots for a hockey team that hasn't won a game at home this year? Win a game at Madison Square Garden, then you could crack jokes.
That's your rebuttal?
I think that's a fair rebuttal.
I don't think that's fair. I mean, you got to stick to the topic at hand, which is the Knicks.
He's Would you be okay if we called them the New York Chuckers? So what Sean is referencing is that I called the Boston Celtics the Boston Chuckers last year after they chucked their way to two losses against the Knicks.
No. Is that fair? I bring audio to the table.
Are you going
to
play it off your phone? Real professional.
Well, I mean, I can't have you take away the audio.
This is a coalition plan.
Chuckers.
Hold on.
Chuck in Boston.
What was that? Play the one more time.
I gotta play one more time because he's stepping all over it.
Go ahead.
They are the Boston Chuckers. Keep chucking, Boston. See where that gets you.
See where that gets
you. I kind of remember that. You dubbed the Celtics the Boston Chuckers.
I did.
So you're saying that the Knicks should be the Chuckers because they're chucking threes now?
Dude, they're taking 45 threes a game. They're just chucking. Wow. And quote from Tommy, see where that gets you. Tommy, answer for yourself.
I will. Boston Celtics, there's a C in it. There's a C in Chuckers, so it's alliteration there. So where you're the Knicks, you can't be the Chuckers. That's number one. Number
they're
two,
not the Boston Chucklers.
You know where it got him? It got him a championship. That's where it got him. Now, the shots didn't fall last year, so they lost. But I rather take a lot of threes. If I miss them, I'll live by the sword, I'll die by the sword. And they did that. Okay. But they won the championship, Sean, with that mentality.
Okay, so last year when you called them the Boston Chuckers, after they already won the championship, that was set in a positive light?
No, it was set in a negative light because they kept chucking, and I think that they got arrogant.
Time out. Lou Gehrig debate series.
Oh, yeah, we haven't had one in a while.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't even have the music.
We'll give you a minute. Okay. Anytime there's a debate at hand, we like to make it official. Clearly, Sean Morash is claiming the New York Knicks should now be called the New York Chuckers, based on Tommy Lou Gower calling the Boston Celtics the Boston Chuckers a year ago. So we will have a very fair Lou Gehrig debate series. That's where each guy gets a minute to state their case. Then they get 30 seconds to yell at each other. Tiki and I in the audience decide who has won the debate. Officially, there have been 17 Lou Gehrig debate series. Sean Morash currently leads it by a score of 9-8.
I'm just laughing. For anybody listening to the radio, Tiki just had to haul this board over. It must have been heavier than a car.
He has the board over, which says Lou Gehrig debate series, Sean 9, Tommy 8. We also notice on our scoreboard that the possession arrow belongs to Tommy.
Oh,
now,
wow.
That means Tommy could decide if he wants to begin the debate or allow Sean to begin the debate since he's brought the issue up. So, a couple of questions before we get started. First of all, did you have enough time to get the music?
I have the music.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's an official Lou Gehrig debate series. Now, Tommy, possession arrow is in your hands. Would you like to begin the debate or allow Sean to kick off this debate?
I'm going to defer. I'm going to go second.
He is going to defer, so 60 seconds will go on the clock, and Sean Morash will get to state the case on why the New York Knicks should now be referred to as the New York Chuckers. Your time begins now.
Well, what we could do is have factual evidence. Tommy, 3 minutes ago, just admitted that he called the Boston Celtics the Boston Chuckers in a negative light, had nothing to do with the championship because they kept chucking threes, which is exactly what the Knicks are doing. So if one nickname is good for a team and its faults, it should be used the very next year, regardless of first letter that starts with team name. In fact, I mean, Chuckers, there's a K at the beginning of the Knicks because that doesn't make any sense because it really sounds like it should start with an N. Everything is lost here. Tommy, you think the Knicks suck because you think Boston sucked because all they did was chuck, and that's what the Knicks are this year. So unfortunately, now for the rest of the year, they are the New York Chuckers, and that's it.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
How much wood could a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
How many could Deuce McBride take if he could?
All right, Tommy, 60 seconds on the clock for your rebuttal.
Yeah, the Knicks are not chucking. They are taking what they did last year in a negative way and turning it into a positive. They needed to attempt more three-pointers. In the modern-day NBA, I know we're going to hear the music tonight. It's the Knicks back on NBC, but it's not the 90s anymore. You have to shoot a lot of threes in order to win. That is the Mike Brown system. I'm all in favor of it. The reason why I called the Boston Chuckers the Chuckers is because their arrogance got the better of them. They would have been able to attack the Knicks better if they stopped chucking and actually took advantage of the fact that Brunson can't guard. See, I'll take a shot at my own player. The fact that Cat can't guard. So their arrogance was their undoing. If the arrogance of the Knicks is their undoing, then I'll blast them for it. But the idea of throwing up a lot of three-pointers is what you need to do in the modern NBA in order to win a championship. That's why Mike Brown was brought here. So I'm all in favor of the chucking, as you would call it. I just say high volume of three-pointers for the Knicks. So the high volume Mike Brown Knicks, all in favor.
All right, your rebuttal, Sean.
The rebuttal's easy, Tommy.
You just said 3 minutes ago you called Boston that in a negative light, and now you're telling this audience that it needs to be done to win a championship. You can't keep track of your
own. No, because
if
Boston hit those shots, and I'll even say this, I'll admit it, if they were hitting those shots, the Knicks would have probably had no chance in that series.
Well, guess what? The Knicks ain't hitting them in a high enough court.
They had one game where they missed a bunch of threes against Miami, who's always spunky. They're gritty.
They're
Saturday night in South Beach. You're not going to church. So you know what? You had an off night Sunday. It happens. Those Miami games on a Sunday are brutal.
This season is going to be marred by the chucking.
No, it's not going to be marred by that.
And you set yourself up for this to the New York Chuckers.
No, I'm not even going to take the low-hanging fruit that you're basketball team's an abomination, or your hockey team hasn't won a home game. Because if you're going to take shots at my team, your hockey team's horrible. They haven't won a home game yet, and they just lost to the two worst teams in the NHL. Now, back to my team. They had one night where they didn't hit a lot of threes. One night. And now you sound like somebody that's going to call me on one of my weekend shows that hates that they take a lot of three-pointers. It's how you win in the modern NBA.
All right.
Like it or not.
Wow. Worked wonders in Miami.
That's a good one.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was a very good one.
I got to be honest with you. Did not see this one coming at all. I was completely blindsided.
You're better off that way because I think you won it, Tommy.
Really?
Yes, because context matters. So when the Knicks were playing the Boston Celtics, this is what I'm agreeing with Tommy about, the Knicks were the inferior team. The only reason that the Boston Celtics lost those first two games is because they would not deviate from the chucking mentality. Mm-hmm. Now, if they're knocking them down, who cares? Whatever. They were clearly off. They clearly knew they had needed to change their strategy, and they never did. And it lost them those first two games, which led to them losing the series. In game three of the 82-game regular season, does it matter? Like you're trying to institute a new philosophy. This is the Mike Brown way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ball movement, five out all the time, get to the corner, take the easiest shot in basketball, at least efficiency-wise and EPA-wise because of how much it how short that shot is. And especially if you learn it and do it over consistently over time, just like he did when he was with the San Antonio Spurs under Greg Popovich, doesn't that make you a better team in a game that doesn't necessarily matter? Game one and two of the postseason, that matters.
I have zero issue with the New York Knicks attempting a great amount of threes,
yes,
which is not that far off the clip of the Boston Celtics last year. They've attempted about 46 per game. It is something I screamed for a year ago, so I am not even disagreeing with the notion. But this argument was an assault.
Mm.
Sean destroyed him.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why Sean destroyed him.
Wow.
Because, number one, Tommy couldn't keep track of why he called the Celtics the Boston Chuckers.
Well, because they were chucking shots and it lost him the game.
He was more just making fun of a team he doesn't like. And so he came up with, they're the Chuckers! They're Chuckers! Meanwhile, that's what won them a championship a year earlier.
It lost them the series to the Knicks.
I think it contributed to it, absolutely. Yeah. But that doesn't take away that he forgot because he's like, they're Chuckers. Then in the beginning of the argument, he's like, that's a good thing. It's how they won the title. That's not why you labeled them that a year ago. And then, and I love when you make fun of the Rangers. Okay, it's near and dear to my heart.
Mm.
The Nets stuff doesn't even bother me because they're such an abomination of a team. But whenever you start to move on from the subject to start racking on Sean's other teams, you've lost the argument. And I could tell that you weren't prepared because Sean beat you up. Mm. I think that was an assault. I disagree with you. I think Sean won the debate.
Well, we have to take this to a caller. And luckily, we have one of our favorite callers online. And I know he wasn't prepared for this because he pre-writes his stuff. But Kendrick.
Oh, I want an FBI investigation on this. Come on.
No.
Don't say nothing. Neither one of you can say a thing.
Get me the FBI
guys,
on the line.
You guys are no longer allowed to speak.
Yes.
Kendrick Insufferin is a loyal listener. He has heard Lou Gehrig's debate series. And I am sure he will give a very honest opinion on who won that debate. So, Kendrick, the floor is yours.
Gentlemen, I knew this would come down to me when you broke into the debate. And so I listened intently. I listened to hear both sides unbiased. And I have to be honest, if I'm going to be true in front of my family as we're about to sit down for dinner, I cannot lie. In a landslide, Sean Marash won that. No question.
I tried, Tommy. Tried.
And I will say,
update that board.
Keep going, kids.
He's updating at 10-8. Sean, go ahead.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this. Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.
And, Kendrick.
Yeah, no, Sean, the issue that Tommy doesn't realize is that the Knicks coined Nova Knicks, and they got rid of that nickname in 2 weeks. So we can call them whatever they want because they change their names every 2 weeks when it comes to nicknames. But I do want to say something. You know, no one cares about the Nets. I admit that this year. And so I'll focus on the Meow Knicks, if that's what we want to call them as well.
By the way, thank you for your contribution, and, Kendrick.
Yes. You did great work.
No,
great
work. Honestly, it's my civic duty this week, and next week I'll vote. So those two things are very important. But, you know, the modern-day Mr. Big Shot, a.k.a. the Shady King, Jalen Brunson, he had a strong 37-point performance chucking up all those shots down in Miami, which is fitting because down in South Beach, they're filled with social media influencers and window shoppers who pretend that they have the whole world in their hands, but in actuality, they're just frauds. So tonight, I do actually hope that the New York Kitty basketball team plays against the Greek god and the fans get to watch what they wish they could only afford, because burning bridges does have a cost. But I did want to call about the Jets and the Giants. So really quick,
yes,
you know, this Sunday when Aaron Glenn got his first career win, he's only 19 wins behind Brian Daboll. And the reality is that this upcoming weekend, a former head coach that walked the sidelines of MetLife, Tiki, he's returning with his defense. And if he can stop this rookie quarterback and embarrass the Giants, again, another home game here, he helps his chances of getting an interview potentially in East Rutherford and come back on a revenge tour.
Oh my God.
And with the defense... And so, Tiki, let me just lay this out, because I'm not trying to troll on this one, because you know I'm a solid guy.
Right.
I don't think he's going to be the guy, but when you look at the roster with the defensive talent and what he does with defenses and a quarterback that's already in place, if he came back with an OC and a veteran offensive coaching staff, I really don't think it's a crazy thought to bring him out. And in terms of the Jets, real quick here, Ev, I'll throw this one out here. Breece Hall, when he gets 20 carries in his career, the Jets are 4-1. When he gets 15 carries, they're 9-7. When he rushes for over 100 yards, they're 5-3. When he gets over 50 passing yards, they're 6-4. They're a winning team when Breece Hall is involved. Anyone who says they should trade Breece Hall for a fourth-round draft pick or anything is just out of their mind. The running back position is a premium position now when it comes to the draft picks, when you look at Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson to replace a guy like Breece Hall.
Right.
So the trade I would consider, you brought up Quinnen Williams. What about DJ Moore in Chicago? I know they're competitive, but DJ Moore had success with Justin Fields when they were in Chicago, and he was with Steve Wilkes in Carolina. So that would be a one-for-one swap. I know the NFL doesn't do that.
It doesn't
happen a lot.
It doesn't happen. It's not. It also doesn't intrigue me, because I still think Justin Fields is the short-term quarterback for this team. Like, he had a great week last week, and Tiki's laid it out, and I was giving my fantasy the other day how somehow he turns into a franchise quarterback.
But it's going to take a lot more of what we saw week one and week eight to happen.
No doubt.
Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
No. So it doesn't intrigue me. Robert Saleh's going to get interviews for a head coaching job, and he's probably going to get one at some point. I cannot picture living in a world in which the New York Giants are the team that decides to offer Robert Saleh his second opportunity. But I will tell you this, and I know Mike Vrabel's different because he was a successful head coach.
Yeah.
You don't need to hire an offensive-minded head coach to get the best out of a young quarterback.
No, you just need to make sure that you have the correct offensive coordinator.
Correct.
And quarterback coach and staff around him to continue his development.
Absolutely. Well, good job by Kendrick, and congratulations, Sean, on winning the Lugash debate series. Mm-hmm. The standings now set at 10-8. Sean, also the possession arrow is now in Sean's favor, so the next time we have a natural debate and we realize a Lugash debate series is the only way to settle it, that will happen.
A two-game lead and the possession arrow. Some might say it's getting late early.
Yes, very, very. Are you upset, Tommy, with Kendrick? Because I thought he was very honorable in making the tough decision that he had to make.
Part of the Lugash debate series is that the loser, now I honor this more than Sean, is that when you lose, you take the L, you don't argue it. I'm not going to point out the fact that Kendrick is part of the coalition of Nick haters and that, you know, that he's probably biased. I would never say anything like that. So I'll just take the L and move on.
Yeah. Here's what's great. I don't know if this gives you any solace.
Well, telling us all that you just didn't really take into account.
It's very well done.
Right. I'm very well done.
Yes. I don't know if this gives you any solace.
Yeah.
I agree with you about attempting more threes. It's not about that. I just thought in the debate you got assaulted.
Well, no, here's the big picture issue.
Go ahead.
What's that T-shirt behind Tiki? The Jalen Brunson one.
Oh, yeah. Jalen Brunson is a good player. It's Tommy's famous tweet about Jalen Brunson.
This is the new T-shirt. Is that if the Knicks win the title and they hit a lot of threes, it's going to be, well, I thought you insulted the Celtics when they took a lot of threes. So I feel like this could hang over my head.
I don't know what you just said. That makes no sense to me. What did you say?
It makes sense to me is that this could be something that you and others in the coalition hang over my head.
That you called the Boston Celtics the Boston Chuckers?
Exactly, and then if I'm embracing the Knicks' new mentality of taking a lot of threes, it makes me look like, I don't know if the word hypocrite's the right word, but almost like it comes back to bite me in the ass now.
Well,
you reap what you sow.
Well, is that your fault?
Yeah. Not really, because I said it like months ago during the playoffs in a vacuum, in a bubble, and I didn't think, no, it would be brought up now. No, I did not. Or all season.
Me, Evan Tiki, we're all fathers. And sometimes you have to teach your children lessons in life. There are consequences. Think before you speak, Tommy. That's all next time.
Well, and the other thing, and we do this very consistently around here, and I hold myself accountable, is we don't say stuff and let it just disappear. We hold ourselves accountable for the things we say, good or bad. And so that was something you said. And
it
just
was.
Because it happened 9 months ago doesn't mean it didn't happen. No, I've said many things on the air that
we played.
Bring back.
Well played. Speaking of, where's my start dart sign? It's kind of missing.
By the way, thank you, SNY, for joining us as always. I don't know where the start dart sign went, but Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by the Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
Yeah, the
it wasn't on there. I did
we
not
have
notice
a wall with the scoreboard for those that are not watching on SNY with the Lugash Debate Series score. We have Tommy's famous T-shirt. We have Tiki Barber running over the very overrated Ryan Clark. And we used to have the famous start dart paper that Tommy wore, and I don't know, it disappeared.
I saw Minko leave today with something under his arm.
You think Minko took it?
He was in studio today.
Five finger discount? Mink just like swiped it?
He is a big collector of WFAN history, and there's no question that Tommy wearing that on his shirt for weeks at a time is a part of it. Oh, you found it?
Oh, we found it.
Okay, it slipped a little bit, but we have it. Start dart is back.
Sorry, Mink.
There you go. Yeah, you accuse John Minko of being klepto. You know what klepto means?
I've heard, I don't even, is kleptomaniac allowed if not dump it?
Yes. What?
I don't know what that, isn't it when you, like, you eat dead bodies?
No, that's a necrophiliac, isn't it?
Oh.
No.
Now, the floor is yours, Sean. Keep talking. What is it again?
I thought a kleptomaniac was somebody that eats dead human bodies.
Interesting.
Which now he sings a necrophiliac.
No, don't even go by what I just said. It's something different.
Okay.
Why do you think I said klepto? Like, let's use some judgment here. Why did I say that?
I got to be honest with you. I'm in such panic mode, I forgot the original context.
You accused John Minko of being a klepto.
A klepto means an old man who's confused.
Somebody who steals stuff. Like,
absolute buffoon, idiot.
I think that's what it is. Like, they have, like, this habit of stealing.
A kleptomaniac keeps stealing.
You're maniacal about possessing things that are not yours.
Yeah, like, you go into a drugstore, and for no reason at all, you steal a Butterfinger. Like, you just klepto. You can't stop. It's almost like a disease.
Oh,
you just keep stealing stuff, yeah? Let's go to Matt in Staten Island. What's up, Matt?
Honestly, this was one of the biggest assaults on Tommy ever. Let me tell you something. Between Evan, Lash, and Kendrick from wherever he's from, this is a coordinated assault. Let me tell you, that little snippet they took of what he said came completely, you know, it was like a two-second clip. It wasn't in context. And number two, you're attacking a man who promotes positivity, the future of radio. And I think this is a coordinated assault, and I think you should be ashamed of yourself. Well, that's all I got
to
say.
Thank you, Matt. Here's what I'll say to Matt.
Great defense, Matt. Great defense.
I'll say this to Matt. I'll say this to Tommy. And I always say this. Go get the audio in its context then. I don't work for everybody. I work for myself. So when I find audio, or in this case, when Sean finds audio, that's what we found. If Tommy wants to provide the full context of Boston Chuckers, I've never turned anyone down from playing live audio on this station or audio from this station. So that's on Tommy and that's on Matt. If you feel like that was such an assault and he was taken out of context, be my guest. The floor is yours tomorrow at 5:30. You can play whatever the hell you want.
You want me to release the tapes tomorrow?
Release the tapes!
You want me to release the tapes?
You're damn right! Either release the tapes or stop bitching about it.
I wasn't bitching about
Matt
it.
Matt works for you. He's
and Kendrick and Sean work for you in the coalition indicators. To be fair, he is right that it was an organized attack. Now, I don't know if I'm going to do a covert counterstrike here. I got to go through the audio, but it is the work of the coalition indicators.
Let me get this straight. Are you saying that I said to Sean before the show, hey, I got this idea?
Yes.
Sounds like something you would do, Evan.
Son of a bitch.
You guys are giving us way too much credit.
yes.
Just bring up the... I'm going to bring up the Knicks. You bring up the Chuckers and then start assaulting them. Then Tiki and I will call for a Lugash debate series. And then we'll have Kendrick on hold.
Yes.
Just in case Tiki doesn't
yes, as Yoda said in The Phantom Menace, there's always two. There's a master and an apprentice.
You want the truth?
Yes.
Can you handle the truth?
Yeah, I think I deserve the truth.
You're damn right. It was all a setup. And it was executed.
No, it was great. It was.
Beautifully.
I literally was blindsided by it.
Even Kendrick saying to Tommy, wants to talk about the Jets. Can't listen to the Jets.
And the truth was, Tiki is unbuyable. So Tiki wasn't on it. Tiki was honest. And I knew that. That's why I needed the protection just in case Tiki sided with Tommy.
Mm-hmm.
That I had the victory all lined up.
A master and an apprentice. Yeah. Always. There's always two.
With that said, I agree that the Knicks should be attempting a lot of threes. So I'm on your side.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, this is Maggie Freeling, host of the podcast Up and Vanish Weekly. Tune in each week as I dive into some of the most interesting unresolved cases. Search Up and Vanish Weekly in your podcast app to follow the show.